Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program today. My guest is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, and we are pleased to have you with us on the program today. Remember that this has been a pre-recorded program with Mayor McBarnes, so unfortunately we cannot take your phone calls during the show today, but you can always send us emails for any of our four mayors at ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, glad we could catch up. Nice to talk to you again.
Hey, you too, Stan. Good to be here.
So let me start with something that became an unexpectedly important topic this month, your health. As we reported last week, you suffered a burn on your arm and you needed some medical attention. First and foremost, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm back on the mend. Got nothing but positive reports from my team of healthcare providers that have been watching over me, and it's just great to be back in the fight and in the trenches here.
You were at home when this happened, is that right?
Yes, I was. I had an accident while I was ironing some clothes, getting a suit ready for the next day of work, and one thing led to another, and saw what I had accidentally done to myself, and passed out. And luckily, my wonderful wife came to my rescue and got referred down to the Eskenazi Burn Unit in Indianapolis, and spent some time there. Underwent a successful surgery last Tuesday, and have had three or four follow-ups since then. And like I said, I'm doing fantastic. You know, that's the perks of being 29 and healthy. I'm able to bounce back very quickly. But you know, I can tell you that team down there at Eskenazi, just absolutely phenomenal people, phenomenal doctors, phenomenal surgeons, nurses. Just can't sing their praises high enough, and just really thank them for helping me get back to work as soon as I possibly could.
Hopefully wife and belongings are okay.
What's that?
Hopefully your wife and your belongings are okay.
Oh, yes. You know, my wife puts up with a lot for me, I'll tell you, and she's definitely been there for me this past week. And let me just put it this way, Stan. From now on, I'm going to start using a steamer, or I'm going to go to the dry cleaners from now on. So it's just it was one of those things. Looking back, it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. But I suppose that's why they're called accidents.
Good news for all the dry cleaners in the Frankfort area, I suppose.
Wait, we've got one, so they know where the business is coming.
Have you been told by your doctors how long a full recovery is expected to take, and hopefully you'll make a full recovery?
Oh, yeah, heavens yes. I mean, you know, going down there, I saw so many people that were both inpatients and in the waiting room, and I'm so lucky. Most of the people down there have third-degree burns to most of their body. You know, for me, it was just, you know, a little bit on my right arm from my elbow to my hand. I'm lucky because I'm a lefty, so I do everything left-handed anyway, so that's nice. The skin graft's taken. It's amazing how much that's already healed in 1 week's time. So really, you know, I'm on the ball. I'm marching forward, and I assume here in a couple months I'll probably be no worse for the wear. But you know, at this point in time, I've been cleared to get back to my normal schedule and basically everything that I can handle. And that's just thanks to the amazing healthcare team down there. So yeah, I'm doing great. No complaints here. And lesson learned: dry cleaner and or steamer, and I'm good. So I'm very happy about that.
All right, let's move on to other things. We reported here in our newsroom this week on an increase in the county's income tax, which is in part designed to help generate some money to modernize a bunch of public safety facilities in the county. You have been on this program and elsewhere talking about lowering taxes where possible. So I wanted to get your feelings on increasing this particular levy for this particular purpose.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the first things that I'd point out to you is over the past couple years, and I've reported on this show, you know, I think this year we stayed close to approximately $500,000 to $600,000 actually underneath our max levy. And what that means for our listeners is basically our city general fund, which is funded by property taxes, as a city, as a taxing entity, we could have levied up to an additional $500,000 approximately of additional taxes. prices, but we didn't. We tightened our belt. We held the line. We didn't levy to levy. And moving forward, we have that same plan moving into next year. We're actually going to be asking for a budget that is well underneath our maximum levy in the city. From a public safety standpoint, we are underfunded. Our public safety officials in Frankfort right now, what's happening is we are training these people. We are spending thousands upon thousands of dollars to train them, to outfit them to be a Frankfort police officer. And then they get in, and our salaries aren't at a competitive level. So what happens? They leave for other communities. We've lost two officers in the past 6 months to communities that are within a half-hour drive of our city. And also, this correlates into crime data. I know I've talked about it on this show, but UCR's Unified Crime Reports tell us that are verified from the FBI that our crime is down by 19% from the year 2011 to 2016. I contribute that to our officers. So what I'm getting at is we're attempting to retain the best and brightest talent here in the city of Frankfort. And in order to do that, we believe that we must have that competitive salary. So what we're proposing is to our council next year, moving our base patrol officers to an annual salary of approximately $52,000. That will put us in a very competitive scenario with communities around that. And when you match that with our health care benefits, facility upgrades that we're talking about, equipment upgrades, we're going to be able to maintain those officers that are keeping drugs off of our streets, that have added to this 18% reduction in crime in the past 5 years. What I will say is yes, we did advocate for this because we believe there is a need for it based upon facility upgrades and salary increases that we desperately need for our public safety employees. But what I'm going to expect out of our employees is this. Our citizens should see an even higher return in terms of services because we are asking them to pay a little bit more on this local income tax. I expect that. And if that doesn't happen, you know, Chief Bacon and I were very forthright with the county in an open public meeting. You know, we should be the first people that they're yelling at if they do not feel as though they're receiving a return on their investment. And I asked our county council president, Alan Dunn, I said, quantify this for me. You know, what does this additional levy mean? And what it means is a person that makes a gross salary of $50,000, it will mean approximately an additional $125 spread out over a course of 12 months. So that's what it'll mean to a person making $50,000. So that's our justification. That's how we're looking at this. And moving forward from a property tax side, we're going to strive to be well underneath our max levy, tighten the belt when it comes to property taxes so individuals aren't paying the full amount that we can most definitely levy, but we don't feel a justification to do that because we're trying to keep costs as low as possible.
So that $52,000 a year figure for the base patrol officer that you mentioned, in doing that and moving that to that salary level, does that allow you to just keep the current staffing level you have, or does it allow you any leeway to actually expand the number of officers? Because one thing that happens, of course, when you raise that base salary is it costs more per officer to go in to create a new line item when you consider not just the salary, but indeed the benefits that go on top of that, right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because here's another thing we're asking out of our officers, and something that is dependent upon this raise. We went to them and we said, okay, we're going to get real aggressive and we're going to compensate you fairly because you guys have earned it. You're working so hard. We want to retain the best and brightest. But starting January 1st of 2018, we are going to change your shift schedule to 12-hour shifts. Right now, we run on 8-hour shifts, which means we have 2 to 3 patrol officers on the street at any given point in time covering our city. When we move to 12-hour shifts, starting January 1st, we're going to have 5, 6, or 7 officers on the street at any given point in time. Not only will this mean better coverage for our city, more officers on the street at any given point in time, but it will allow us to step back and look at creating some specialty units, such as a streets crimes unit, that we can utilize those personnel to go after the worst offenders, to work those big drug deal cases that our narcotics detectives need help on. So it's going to allow us to cover this city in a more effective manner. And these officers are going to be working for those additional dollars they will be receiving. Moving to 12-hour shifts, an officer will be working approximately 270 additional hours during a calendar year. So although we're compensating them more, as mayor of this city and in what I believe our council will look at this as, I believe that our citizens will see more efficiency, they'll see more effectiveness, and they'll definitely see many more officers per shift on the streets of Frankfort. To answer your question directly, we are going to maintain our current staffing level, but of course, moving into the future, you know, we'd love to see that bumped up a little bit, but the 12-hour shifts are going to give us the ability to have a broader depth of coverage that I feel like we need right now.
So going from an 8-hour shift to a 12-hour shift, that's, you know, 50% more hours per shift per officer. I will wager that probably going to $52,000 does not represent a 50% increase in an officer's yearly salary. So aren't they making less per hour now?
No, they're not. So right now, this would be a 13.9% increase. When we started in 2012, a base patrol officer made $39,038. Today they make $45,731, and our proposal moving into next year is to take them to that $52,088 number. So although I don't have that hourly breakdown right in front of me, Stan, but they will be working an additional 270 hours per officer per year, and we've received very positive feedback from our police officers. The 12-hour shift schedule that we're going to roll out will give them more time to spend with their families, more time to decompress at home, and I think that's important for a police officer. They get really bogged down. They're seeing the worst of the worst every day, so it's great we'll have broader coverage, but perhaps even as important, those officers will have more time off, more days in a row off to spend time with their family and their loved ones to decompress, you know, practice some hobbies, and then come back to work refreshed.
So are you saying they will work fewer shifts per year but more hours per shift?
I can get you that exact information, Stan, and we're still working through those finite details, but I can tell you with certainty that a patrol officer will be working an additional 270 hours a year over and beyond what they average right now during a calendar year. And as we get closer to January 1st, we can talk more about those details. The council will get a full briefing next week at our budget hearings, which will happen on August 30th, but I think right now we have a model that's exciting, that's going to offer better coverage for our citizens, and our officers are happy. They're going to be compensated for what they're doing, and it's going to allow us to hold on to the best and the brightest. I believe that.
The reason I ask about the shifts is I know that sometimes, for instance, first responders like EMS techs will work, for instance, a 24-hour shift on and then 48 hours off. That's a fairly common thing for paramedics to do, for instance, and so I wondered, do your officers right now work a 40-hour week, and it's just when those 8 hours during the day are allocated, what shift they're needed for?
Sure. Well, no, right now they're dedicated to a shift, and then they stay on that shift for an inordinate amount of time, whether that be a first shift, a second shift, or a third shift. So they do not flex on an every other week basis.
Okay, but they are just working that 8 hour shift per day on one of those three shifts of the day.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
All right. So it was interesting. Your police chief, Troy Bacon, told our reporter Charlotte Tuggle when she talked to him that he thinks the Frankfort Police Department is kind of stuck in the 1970s based on how it looks. He said it's really in need of an overhaul, a new IT room, a new place to sequester suspects from people who just walk into the office, a new interrogation facility. Do you agree with his assessment that it's in need of that overhaul?
No, absolutely. You know, we've had a building team together now for about a year and a half, and we've had three city council members, Board of Works members. We've even had some utility board members involved, and current police officers and office assistants. And so we've been working through this as a team. And yes, I mean, you know, our police department, and we, you know, if you're out there and you're listening, if you're in Frankfort, if you want to stop by, go through the front door, talk to Charity, our front desk assistant. And, you know, I know that our chief and our deputy chief, they love to give tours of the building just to let people know what kind of shape it is in. It's a building much like Old Stoney that just over the years is absolutely falling apart, and it most definitely wasn't constructed to be an efficient public safety department. So these interior changes and the proposed addition to the building will give us a space to really combat crime in the 21st century and provide the evidence storage that's needed to house very sensitive items and allow our officers to do even a better job protecting our citizenry. And so this is something that we are in need of, and thanks to these newfound revenues, we do now have a proposal that's feasible, that's sustainable, that we can take to the city council and hopefully make these needed upgrades so that our police officers have something they can be proud of, our community has something they can be proud of, and we can combat crime more effectively.
So let me ask you a question that I've asked several other mayors that I've spoken to in times of tax and fee increases, and that's this. When the necessary money's been collected to do all the renovations that you want to do on your police department, on the county dispatch center, the other smaller public safety facilities throughout Clinton County, is there a plan, do you know, to try to roll back that income tax increase when you've done all of the fixes you want to do? Or do you foresee it staying in place to be kind of this rotating fund that allows you to keep up with future maintenance?
Well, you know, I think if you look at what we've done, and that's why I wanted to point to us being so far underneath our max levy. I mean, you talk to other communities, and it might be a common practice. You know, I don't know if Crawfordsville stays $500,000 underneath their max levy every year. They may. I'm not sure, but I can tell you in the city of Frankfort we do, because if we aren't in vital need for those funds, then we're not going to collect them. And the thing with property tax dollars is that we get into once the property tax caps came into place here, those circuit breakers and what you do actually hurts other taxing entities and doesn't allow them to collect the money that they might need to efficiently operate. So we like to stay underneath our max levy, especially in City General, because then it opens up the door that, you know, if our partners in the county, if they need to make a case to the taxpayers and they need to levy some additional property tax dollars, they can do that because we're keeping our circuit breakers lower. You know, I can say from my seat that, you know, obviously we will continue to assess this. And that's the great thing about having a capital improvement plan. You know, I've got a capital improvement plan that we have items that we need for our departments laid out for the next 5 years, broken down by the year, that we take to the council every year so they can see exactly what the needs are in the department, and we plan ahead of the game. And so I think if we find ourselves in a position eventually where, like we're at in City General, we can rope things back a little bit, yeah, absolutely, I would stand for that. And I think that with the amount of financial planning that we do in our city, we'll have the documents to say that's a good idea, or no, we're not going to be able to now sustain the infrastructure that we built. And then ultimately, as you stated, it is a county-controlled tax. They control that rate. And so that's a case that would have to be taken to that fiscal body, which would be the county council.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We should say this show has been pre-recorded, so we cannot take your phone calls this week. But feel free to send an email at any time for any of our four mayors to ask@WBAA.org or tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. You and I have talked in generalities before on this program about your future in politics, and now seems a good time to kind of revisit that because Todd Rokita has announced his intention to run for the U.S. Senate next year. That would vacate his House seat. I wondered, have you thought about getting into that race?
You know, I can tell you, Stan, I have absolutely no intention to do that. I love what I'm doing here in the city of Frankfort. I love my job as mayor. And you know what it comes down to for me? I made a commitment to the people of this city that I'd try to make it a better place. And I don't want to renege on that promise. There's too much good happening here. And yeah, there's good, but we also have a lot of challenges. And it's incumbent upon me to finish what I started. And I told the people of this city when I ran for this office that I would serve them for 4 years. So you know what? That's exactly what I'm going to do. I look at these politicians in our country, and just to be blunt, sometimes it's absolutely sickening to me. You know, everyone's an opportunist. Everyone's just looking for that, you know, that next jump. And, you know, I'm a person and I was raised, you finish what you started. So I'm going to finish the duty that I and the commitment that I made to this city, and I'm going to try my best to get my hometown to a point that another administration can come in, democracy can play its course, and our city can have a chance at survival and growth. Because, you know, a lot of people, they may have been to Frankfort over the years, and you may have a certain stigma, or you may think, oh, no, that's just a rural community. Man, things are happening here. I mean, a $7 million luxury apartment complex is going up in our downtown. We're working on a multi-million dollar, you know, wonderful outdoor amphitheater in Prairie Creek Park that we have a big rendering of if people want to come to Frankfort and see, and it's on the site, actually, on Washington Street. You know, we're working on Project Home Run. We're working on the State Road 28 West project. Man, I'm having a blast. I don't want to go anywhere, and I'm not.
Last year, when Representative Rokita was briefly in the gubernatorial race, when that was kind of a wide open thing, one of the things he said to the crowd here in Lafayette when he came to do the caucus was he felt it was his duty to run. That was exactly the word he used, both to the crowd and then talking to me in an interview later. It sounds like you don't share that same philosophy of what the duty of an elected person is.
I guess duty can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, and it's okay. I mean, everybody has a right to their opinion, and, you know, for me, too, it's about where my faith and my family, where can I best serve in those two capacities? So, you know, I definitely don't want to try to judge someone else's feeling or understanding on what their personal duty is to this state or this congressional district. But I can tell you that the way I define duty is, especially being in this world of politics and seeing that we have so many opportunists out there, they're just looking for the next step in their career. It's very, very evident. And I believe that I want to set the example that you can come into this line of work, you can attempt to do the best to do what you said you were going to do, finish out your time, and then go back to the private sector and work hard, because I believe that's the way our founders set this up. Not for people to have careers, not for people to ping pong from one position of influence to the next. You know, and I'm not saying maybe one day I will get back into politics. Maybe I will be called to go in that direction. But, you know, I've got a duty to Frankfort, and I want to see this thing through.
So you're saying that once this term is done, you're out of politics for at least a little while, and you're going back and being a private citizen again.
You know, yeah, that's my feelings, you know, and I think this next 2.5 years, it's going to be a time that I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can. I'm going to sprint across the finish line. I'm going to continue on with the great initiatives. Now's not the time we set back and rest on our laurels. Now's the time we keep pushing harder, because I think people finally see in Frankfort what it can be. And, you know, when people ask me that question right now, it's something that does not really even compute in my mind, because, again, I never want to operate thinking about the next election. I want to operate thinking about what my duty is now in this position in the city of Frankfort. And I'm a believer, if you work hard, if you do what you said you were going to do, things have a way of working out for themselves.
All right, let me ask one more question based on what you just said. And I'm not trying to convince you to do anything, but although there's been talk that former state rep and now Workforce Development Commissioner Steve Braun might get into this race, he has not yet announced an official intention to do so. A lot of times in politics, serendipitous things happen. Stuff just works out. Cards fall into place. Isn't it possible that this is one of those serendipitous times for you?
Stan, I look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now, and to be honest with you, I don't want anything to do with that. I mean, Congress, it has been absolutely frustrating to me. What gets done? Absolutely nothing gets done, you know, and you see the things that go on, and I want to be straight up with you. I completely respect what those men and women do. I respect their positions. I pray for them daily. But, you know, that world and what things have turned into, you know, I just don't feel like it's right for me. If I really felt like I had a calling, yeah, I believe I could do it. You know, I believe that I can do anything that I set my heart to if I'm humble about it and I work hard and surround myself with the right people. But what I'm saying is, yeah, there is a serendipitous time, and right now that serendipitous time is for Frankfurt. And with the commitment that I've made to this city, I just cannot turn my back on that commitment. I've got to see this time through because I think we're in a very crucial time in our city's history. I believe that to my core, and I believe if we don't really get aggressive here and make some really big things happen, I worry about the long term because this is my hometown. This is where I was born and raised, and I want to see those initiatives through. It's going to take the rest of this term at least, and I want to do all I can to make sure the most progress and success happens for this city going through this period of time. I really do.
All right, let's spend our last three or so minutes on one more thing. The county commissioners have announced their intention to spend about $50,000 to study the county courthouse, its structural stability, the amenities that are in it. What do you think a renovated courthouse would mean for Frankfurt, particularly because of it being the center of your town?
Sure. Well, I think from the city of Frankfurt standpoint, number one, I'm happy they're looking at this. I wish them all the best because we just went through this process with Old Stoney, and boy, I remember, you know, doing that first study and going through the RFQ process. What a process. Number one, I'd tell them really think about your current offices, and are you going to have to relocate any of those offices to make sure that the taxpayers still have access to those services while rehabilitation is occurring? So that's a big one. I'd really stress that to them because, you know, we learned the hard way from that experience, and that was a logistical nightmare, something we got through, but something they need to think about. Number two, I'd really like for them to look at the area around the courthouse. You know, I think with all the downtown revitalization that's happening, our redevelopment commission and sinking hundreds of thousands of dollars into our streetscape project, nickel plate flats, $7.1 million, the luxury housing development. You know, I think that north side of the courthouse, the sidewalks around the courthouse, the Half Moon Drive at the courthouse, I think there could be some landscape architecture done, and I know that's outside of the purview of the cornerstone and the foundation of the building, but I think there could be a lot of progress there that could really just add that nice little spark to the ambiance of downtown Frankfurt. And, you know, some of those things are looked at as fluff, and obviously you have to work on the bones of the building first. But if something small could be done with a manageable amount of money to spruce those areas up, make them even more pedestrian-friendly, to add to the ambiance and growth that downtown Frankfurt's currently seeing, that's what I'd like to see.
One last question in just our last minute. It's no secret that your square could use more investment. But I wanted to point out to you that there are some municipalities that are looking more and more trying to use less physical space for their county services, do more and more online, and that's meant moving away from city halls, county courthouses, etc. How do you think your county should balance that movement with the significant anchor that a courthouse provides to Frankfurt, Lafayette, Greencastle, Crawfordsville, etc.?
Well, man, here's what I'm going to tell you. There is a lot happening in downtown Frankfurt right now. I mean, if you come to downtown Frankfurt right now, I invite you to come over. I mean, you see lifts everywhere. We've got a 74-unit luxury housing complex go up. Our facade grant was tapped out in the first quarter of this year. Greek's Pizzeria just opened up on the east side of the square. A new boutique called Copper Penny just opened up on the north side of the square. I mean, things are happening. Sure, can you always become better? Yes. But I guess what I'm getting at is having a courthouse, and we have a gorgeous courthouse, and if they would lockstep in with this philosophy of really focusing on the area around it, looking at that landscape architecture, looking at how we make that more pedestrian friendly, it's going to do nothing but complement the forward movement and progression of our downtown. But I invite all the listeners out there, Tippecanoe County, wherever you're listening, come to Frankfurt. We're turning into a quaint downtown, great restaurants. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. We are moving forward.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. We really appreciate it. We look forward to doing it again next month.
Dan, thanks. God bless.
And this has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember, you can find all of these programs archived at our website, WBAA.org. You can also send emails for any of our mayors to our email address, ask@WBAA.org. And you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Have a good rest of your day.